This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly UFC show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Villa, and joining me to preview UFC Fight Night at the Apex, headlined by Mackenzie Dern versus Yan Xiaonan, is the former MMA fighter and pro bettor Ryan Bruno. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, mate. Yourself?
Very good, mate. Enjoy the week off. It was a very quiet week. No UFC, and there was. I know we bet on other sports like football and stuff like that, and there was none of that either. So it was a pretty uneventful weekend, mate.
It was, mate. I felt like there was something missing in my life, I'll be honest. It was like the weather's not much crack here in England. So it's not the same the weekends without the football scores coming in and then the UFC and the night to enjoy. So it was a bit of family time though, so that's always nice.
Lovely, mate. Lovely. It's basically summertime here now, mate. So I spent the whole week on the beach, mate. So
oh, nice.
Sorry, I beat you there, mate. I beat you there. mate, this event, a bit of a weird one. They still haven't come up with a reason, but there's no crowd for this event. Which I mean, at the Apex, there was only going to be maybe a couple hundred people there anyway. But do you think that affects the fights much? I mean, off the top of the head, you're thinking, you know, less noise. Maybe the fighters will be able to hear their corners a bit better, be a little bit more methodical with the way they approach their fights. Potentially not getting rolled up by the fans. It might be a little less action-packed, maybe less finishes. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it during the COVID period, didn't we, where there was no fans, but it's kind of hard to gauge the effect that has, like, overall, because obviously every fight is different. And for some fighters, like you say, you might be able to see things clearer, but for other fighters, they really need the fans to get behind them and hear the roar of the crowd, like, to enjoy the fight. It's a tough one to say, really. It's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about because, you know, like I say, every fight is different, and without knowing them personally, you're not really going to know how it affects them.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really got any thoughts on it either. It'll be just one of those things you have to kind of wait and see. And I mean, if you really want to dig deep, maybe go back to those. There was probably like a period of a year maybe where there was no fans at the Apex. So yeah, if you want to, maybe you can go back and look at them. But it's one of those things that's going to affect each fighter differently. All right, mate. Well, why don't we get stuck into today's card. We've got two bets each, and then we'll look at the main event. You're going to kick things off with John Castaneda versus Daniel Santos in the bantamweights division.
Yeah, so I think this will be a really exciting fight. I mean, both guys are coming off pretty impressive performances. Santos, even though he lost his last fight against Julio Arce, he looked like he belonged in the UFC, and you know, Arce is a good fighter. He's been in the UFC for many years. He's a good slick striker, and Santos was really competitive in that fight. You know, I think you know, obviously you never want to lose a fight, but I thought that he did look very good in that loss. And then Castaneda was kind of, he put on I'd say the best performances of his career in that last fight against Miles Johns. He looked really good. He just put everything together perfectly. But I mean, Miles Johns looked kind of off to me in that fight when I watched it back. He did kind of let Castaneda dictate a lot of that fight, and he kind of, I don't know if he got hurt with a shot early, but he seemed to kind of accept being the counter striker in that fight. And I don't think Santos will do that in this fight. Taking a few things from the Arce fight, I was really impressed with his pressure throughout the whole fight for three rounds. You know, he was consistently in his face, even though he was eating some big shots. He ate like a flush head kick in the first round, but it didn't deter him. You know, he carried on going. And as I was watching the fight, I thought, you know, he really reminds me of Charles Oliveira. And then as I, you know, dug a bit more into who Daniel Santos is. He trains with Charles Oliveira, so it makes a lot of sense. And you can see that in his striking style. He's very aggressive. He comes forward. He's quite tight with his guard. He's got nice kicks, and he's got spinning back kicks as well. He's got a few finishes with spinning back kicks. Nice knees. He's good in the clinch, like Charles Oliveira is as well. And I think this is just a spot where you're getting Castaneda coming off kind of the best performance of his career, and then you're getting a guy coming off a loss. And I do like to back fighters coming off losses, because I think sometimes the market kind of underrates them. They're often, you know, you often see fighters on losing streaks, they take two or three losses, and the market seems to kind of, I think, okay, they're a losing fighter now, they don't belong in the UFC. And I think, like in his last fight, I think Santos was like a similar price against Arce, and I'd say that Arce is quite, he's a level above Castaneda in my opinion. So yeah, I think it's a good spot here to back Daniel Santos, because you can get him at +150, and I think that price is a little bit too big. I mean, I do like Castaneda; he's got really good footwork. He switches stances really well. He's got some nice low kicks, but I'll just be interested to see how he deals with Santos's pressure, because, like I say, in that Miles Johns fight, Johns did accept just being on the back foot and trying to counter strike. But when he did actually come forward, he was able to land, and when he was getting Castaneda backing straight up, he was landing shots, and we're in the apex as well for this event. So obviously that's going to be a smaller cage. And I just think that, that's going to look good in the eyes of the judges if Santos is consistently walking him back and working him against the cage. And, you know, like I say, he's got some nice knees, nice elbows. So, yeah, I think Santos is a good bet here.
My prediction for this fight is just going to be an absolute war.
Yeah, I think it will be.
They both got very good chins. I mean, Castaneda took Miles Johns is probably one of the biggest hitters in the division, and he took his punches like they were absolutely nothing and just kept walking forward. And the same with Santos too. I mean, he took a flush head kick, stumbled for like 0.001 of a second, and was straight back in the fight. So yeah, I agree, mate. I think I think this could just be a bit of an all out war. Castaneda's got some decent wins on his record. Santos still pretty new to the UFC, and yeah, I think overall this will probably be a very fun fight for the fans. But I think it'll be one of those fights where you just think, how on earth did that go the distance? I just feel like it's gonna go the distance, but it's just gonna be such a war that everyone's gonna be like, how on earth did that go to the judges?
That's what I mean. I'll be interested if Castaneda decides to just engage in a war with him, or if he does try and use his footwork, because you know he does have nice movement. But I don't know, he's a tough Mexican, isn't he? I think so. He's probably gonna want to stand and trade.
I feel like he's got that Mexican chin. Like, yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah, it'll be so, because they both like to go forward. They both fight, you know, well when they go forward. So it'll be an entertaining fight nonetheless, mate. But we'll lock that one in for you. Daniel Santos +150. My first bet is going to come in what is arguably, if that one's not the fight of the night, this one will probably be fight of the night. Mike Davis versus Vyacheslav Borshev. I'm sorry if I botched that pronunciation. I'm going to call him Slava Claus from now on, because that's what everyone likes to call him. You've got basically two very good kickboxers, should stay on the feet for most of the fight. Davis does like to mix in a takedown here and there, but I can't see him doing anything like Dear Casey was able to do in his last fight. I mean, what Dear Casey did takes obviously very high wrestling, but it also takes a lot of cardio, you know, being able to grind someone out like that for three rounds. Davis just doesn't strike me as that kind of person. I watched an interview with him, and he basically says he's done no tape on Slav, doesn't know a thing about him. Even when the interviewer said he's a Russian kickboxer, he looked back at the interviewer and was like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So he says he basically fights best when he doesn't know anything about the opponent. He just goes out and does what he does best. So, I don't expect him. I mean, you never know. He could be talking a load of crap, but I don't expect him to go out there and do anything like Dear Casey did. And when it does go to the ground, normally when he does get on top of people, he's very aggressive. He's normally going for ground and pound. I've never seen him even get close to trying to attempt a submission. So he's very active in terms of his ground and pound, which kind of works towards what I'm getting to here with my bet. But Slav takes this on short notice. Davis has been out for nearly 2 years, though. So I think, you know, that kind of evens things out quite a bit. The thing with Davis, though, is he was only injured for about half of that time. This whole year, he's been trying to find a fight. They just haven't been able to find an opponent for him, or at least he's had people pulling out. So he's been training all of this year. So I think he'll be good to go. Like I said, both guys are very good on the feet. I would say Davis is a little bit more polished, a little bit more technical about the way he goes about his striking, whereas Slav's a bit more, maybe reckless is a bit harsh, but he's certainly a lot more aggressive and doesn't mind, you know, getting hit to get one off himself. And I think that's a little bit of a worry for me in this fight, because I think if Davis catches him, it could be night-night for Slav, because he has tended to get caught quite a few times in the UFC already, or at least even in some of his regional fights. I think the guy was called Lewis, maybe, and he had him majorly rocked about a year ago, that was. Even Dakota Bush had him rocked a few times. So he does tend to get caught, and I don't think you can be that reckless against someone as good as Davis, because this is in terms of strikers, I mean, Dia Casey is a good striker, but he didn't throw a thing. This is probably his toughest test, at least we'll see in the UFC in terms of the stand-up. So, I just give Davis the overall edge just because he's got a good chin himself. He's been toe-to-toe with Mason Jones and looked fine. Previous fights in his career, his chin's held up well. So I give Davis the edge, a little bit more technical, better defensively, better chin for me. And he's shown over these years that he's actually been able to improve a lot on his stand-up. I think I went back and looked at his fight in 2019. I'll quickly look it up. I can't remember exactly who his opponent was.
Gifford or Burns. He fought Burns. Lot, didn't he? But I think that was it, yeah.
That was it. And he didn't look all that great on the feet then. He looked good, but you can see that he's made some significant improvements from then through to that last fight against Mason Jones. So, I like Mike Davis by KO here at plus 350. I would have been happy to take plus 300, maybe a little bit lower than that. I think Mike Davis is around one. Oh, sorry, I'm going into decimal odds, but I think if you break down his chances of winning on the money line, I think his best chance of winning the fight is by KO. So once you do all those percentages, it works out to be a good bet. So any thoughts on that one, mate?
No, I like Mike Davis in general. I think I backed him to beat Mason Jones last time before. And yeah, it's a shame that he hasn't been that active. I think I read that he's got some kind of medical condition, but I don't know if he's disclosed it. But I mean, the guy looks in super good shape. So it can't be affecting him too much. But yeah, I'd like to see him more active. And I think there's quite a big athleticism gap between him and Borshev as well. Whereas Borshev is quite tough and durable and stuff. But there's, you know, Davis is a really good athlete, really quick, really explosive. And like you say, he could easily catch him. And Borshev is going to be, you know, trying to stand up. He's not going to grapple. So you've got three rounds where Davis is capable of landing a big bomb. So yeah, I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, and Borishev coming off that loss where he's just been wrestled to death, coming up against a guy he knows can wrestle too, that's just another thing he has to compute in his mind when he's standing up, is that he's got to be worried about the takedown too. And that gives him just another level on the feet, Davis. So,
Yeah, so hopefully Davis's coaches have told him that Borshev's, you know, not the best grappler, because like you say, even if he does just mix in the takedowns to kind of leave like a big overhand right open or something, you know, because he is that explosive that he could look like he's shooting and then land something big over the top. So yeah, you've got to imagine there's some game planning. No matter what he said, there's got to be some kind of plan there, hasn't there?
Let's hope, mate. Let's hope. all right. Your next bet, mate. I was going to go with this bet myself. So just to let people know that this is a double approved bet from both of us. But you've stolen it off
bet of the week.
Randy Brown versus Francisco Trinaldo.
Yeah. So Randy Brown is massive for welterweight. He stands at 6'3". He's got a 78-inch reach, and he's a really big guy. And he's coming in and fighting Trinaldo, who used to be a lightweight, who's had to move up basically due to age. I mean, the guy's 44 now, and he used to fight a lightweight. So already, you know, you've got quite a big disparity there. And Randy Brown's like 32 years old as well, so he should be coming into his prime. And in his last fight against Kyrus Williams, he kind of did show off, you know, improvements in his boxing. He had a really nice jab. He was peppering that jab all night long. He showed really, really good head movement against a guy in Chaos Williams who is fast and explosive. So, you know, that's really impressive. I don't think Trinaldo's going to bring that type of explosion, and he doesn't have the power that Chaos Williams has. And he's just looked really good. And obviously, whenever you get a guy who's massive for the weight class, like, for example, John Jones, who's got a massive reach advantage over most fighters, when they really learn to use it, they're a nightmare to deal with. And Randy Brown looks like he's, you know, he knows how to use his range now. He's not brawling with guys. He's sticking on the outside with that jab. And then when they come in, he's punishing them with straight shots. He's got really nice knees up the middle. He's looked strong in the clinch as well. Like I say, Chaos Williams, I'd say, is a stronger guy than Trinaldo. Even though Trinaldo is strong, he's obviously coming up from lightweight. And I think that I don't think Chaos Williams would be fighting at lightweight. So, yeah, I think that Randy Brown should be able to deal with any grappling. And that age as well, it's a big concern for me for Trinaldo. Yeah. Like in his last few fights, he hasn't been stopped yet, but in that Salikov fight, he was close to getting stopped. And we've seen him, you know, get wobbled a few times. I think even Jai Herbert hurt him in their fight as well. So I think Randy Brown is, I mean, he's like a minus 300, I think, on the money line, which is quite big. But I think this could be the spot where Trinaldo finally does get stopped. And I think, you know, Brown should really have it all his way. He's the better athlete. He's got that massive reach advantage, like I say. I think he's just going to be landing strikes on Trinaldo, really wear him down. And then perhaps Trinaldo's going to take a bad shot, or he's just going to get worn down. And I could see like a late round two, round three stoppage. So the bet that I like is Randy Brown to win inside the distance at plus 150. I've seen is being kind of bandied around. So hopefully Bet Rivers will... I'll put something out close to that, but I don't even take like plus 130. I would still take that.
Yeah, he's one of those fighters, isn't he, Brown, that when it all clicks for him, I just feel like, you know, you could take him to the moon. He's like a, you know, he reminds me a lot of Kevin Holland, like you said, that kind of just athletic, huge reach. He's got knockouts. He's got submissions too. Like if it just clicks for him, like, you know, I've said about probably Kevin Holland in the past, once it clicks and they, you know, finally figure out their style and you know, maybe like eliminate some of the stupider parts of their game, can be so dangerous. I mean, going from Chaos Williams to Francisco Trinaldo, pretty reasonably similar styles, except I would say, you know, Trinaldo's got a little bit more wrestling. Chaos definitely got more power.
Yeah, and, definitely.
I would say he's probably a little bit more technical than Trinaldo too. I mean, Trinaldo, he does get a little bit wingy every now and then, and he's about 20 years older than Chaos too. So,
yeah, I mean, it's quite a good matchup really to move on from, because you'd say that, you know, obviously that there is differences between the two, but they are fairly similar in the way they strike. They do both throw them kind of big wide hooks, don't they? Trinaldo, like I say, has a smaller reach, I think, and is obviously a lot older and a lot slower now. So it seems like kind of a setup fight for me. I think the UFC quite like Randy Brown, and the, you know, this, you know, it's a co-main event spot for him, and I think he should find a finish here.
Yeah. All right, mate. Awesome. I like it. That's three bets down. My second bet for today comes in Jesse Bronson versus Joaquim Silva. Look, both guys are pretty low level. It's very much a fight here where the loser will most likely get cut. But for me, I think Bronson has better wins against better competition. If you want to count that no contest against Nicholas Dalby, that's a pretty decent win, especially the way he got it done. He got it done on the feet. He knocked him down on the feet first and then followed up with a submission. You know, and that's Dalby's strength. He's a good striker. Silva has been very inactive recently. I think he's fought for 37 seconds over the past 3 years. And in those 37 seconds, he got sparked by Glenn, who's, you wouldn't say he's got the biggest power in the world. He's also not, you know, he's probably about mid-level in the UFC, so not a terrible loss to take, but he looked like someone that hadn't fought in a long time, rushed in with a big overhand and got cleaned up on the way in by a little pop jab. So doesn't exactly bode well for someone who he looked like someone that, you know, hadn't fought in a few years, just wanted to get something off quickly. And he's basically coming into a pretty similar scenario here against Ronson. I think that fight was about 15 months ago. So he's, you know, coming in here with another long layoff. And I just, the way I break this fight down is it'll mostly be on the feet. I think Ronson is just, he's a bit more put together on the feet. He's a lot more consistent. You know what he's going to be doing. He's going to be trying getting in Silva's face and unloading his boxing, which is pretty decent. Whereas Silva, he's pretty unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. He could just stay on the outside, do nothing, circle the cage, explode in, or he could get into an absolute barn burner, get really wild. I've even seen at times against Gordon where he'll just stand in boxing range and like not throw the biggest strikes, but look to just trade with box. You don't know what you're going to get with him. And for a guy that's come up or coming off, you know, such a long layoff once again, I just don't think it bodes. Like, he hasn't got enough time in the octagon to really, you know, embed himself and know exactly what he wants to do in there. I do like his knees though, and Ronson has been stopped in the past with knees to the body, so I think that could definitely be an avenue for him here. But yeah, I give Ronson just the slightest edge on the feet. He's got a, I think he could just get in his face, and I think he's a little bit more durable than Silva. Don't really see an edge for either on the ground. I think they're both decent-ish on the ground. Silva may be able to take Ronson down, but he does have a pretty good get-up game. Ronson does. He got up multiple times versus Rafa Garcia. Obviously, as a fight wore on, he wasn't able to do, but I don't think Silva's going to implement some game plan where he's going to be shooting multiple takedowns every single round. So for me, I think this mostly just plays out on the feet. And I would say Ronson just looks a touch better. I wouldn't say it's huge, but just a touch better for me. I've got this price pretty much 50-50. If I wanted to pick a favorite, I would slightly lean to Ronson. But I think it's pretty close to a 50-50 fight here. And getting plus 120 for Ronson on the money line, I think that's a solid edge there that I'd be happy to take, mate. Any thoughts on that fight?
I agree with what you say. I was leaning Ronson. The only thing that I was a bit worried about was his last performance, where he looked a little bit flat compared to his the fight against Dalby, but maybe he got hurt early, or you don't really know what's going on with fighters. Like, going into fights, he might have been carrying an injury, but I think, like you say, overall, I think he's kind of got the better credentials, and, you know, he's the more experienced. He's fought the higher level competition. So, yeah, I kind of lean Ronson and think, like you say, it seems like a 50-50 fight to me. I think that both guys are going to go out and look to finish each other. And I think, yeah, like, either of them is capable. So, yeah, take the underdog in that spot.
Love it, mate. All right, let's get into the main event. It's a funny old fight, this one. Mackenzie Dern versus Yan Shannon. This is just the ultimate striker versus grappler encounter we're about to see here, except I guess where this fight could be won and lost is in the wrestling. So on the ground, we know Dern's miles ahead of Yan. On the feet, Yan's maybe not miles, but clearly the better striker. But the way this is priced, people might be shocked, because you've got two girls that are, you know, very much very strong in particular areas, but it's priced in a way that shows that Dern's a much better fighter. So we'll try and explain all of this, but minus 230 for Dern and plus 180 for Yan Xiaonan. I guess the first thing is, Dern's going to be trying to get this to the ground, you would assume. How do you think Dern will go in that area? Because she has struggled in the past of getting this fight to the ground. Do you think she'll be able to get Yan down? And if so, has Yan got any chance of staying in the fight if it does go to the ground?
Yeah, so I mean, I went back and watched Yan's fights against Carla Esparza, where she got, you know, fairly dominated. But then I watched her against Claudia Gehala. And I'd say, you know, she didn't look too bad in that fight. And I think if you look at the way that Dern takes people down, it does tend to be generally from the clinch. She's not, she very rarely, or I can't really remember the last time I saw her shoot. She's not shooting double legs like Esparza was. She's not a wrestler. She is kind of looking to tangle people in the clinch. And in the clinch, Jan is quite good. So I don't think that Dern will be able to get her down easily. Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's one of them. It's kind of like the Rodriguez fight where I just don't know if she'll be able to take it out or not, to be honest. But she's got 5 rounds to do it, so that's the big thing, you know, and it only takes her to, you know, get her back, you know, standing up, or, you know, there's, you know, you've got 5 rounds to do it, so it's really tough.
You're seeing a real progression in MMA too of guys who are very good in the BJJ, but they're not the strongest of wrestlers, but they're still able to get to the back standing up, you know, or just get some kind of grappling involved, even though they're not able to take them down. Like your classic is Charles Oliveira, doesn't exactly shoot takedowns, but he finds, you know, he finds a submission. Poirier was, his win against Poirier was an example of that. What was that fight at flyweight? Perez versus what's his name? Formiga. Jesus. What was the flyweight fight, mate? Perez got subbed by
Pantoja.
Sorry,
yeah, he just came out and ran through him.
And he didn't even get him down, but subbed him. So, and you saw Dern, the way she got Torres down was very much, I don't even know if she pulled guard. She like just pulled herself onto her.
She did. jumped guard,
Which I think is a good sign for Dern, because she's probably realized that she's going to find it tough to out-wrestle some of these girls. So she's kind of reverted to her BJJ to induce the grappling, I guess. And yeah, what do you think, mate? I believe that Dern should be able to get this fight to the ground at some point.
Yeah.
As you saw in the Rodriguez fight, Dern was able to get Rodriguez down, I think, twice, or at least get some kind of grappling going twice. Do you think that Jan has any, like, how do you stack up Jan versus Rodriguez's grappling and Tisha Torres's grappling?
Yeah, well, I'd say she's probably a level below them, I would imagine, just from coming up in China, and, you know, she's been from a kickboxing background, because even though Marina Rodriguez is primarily a striker, she's obviously grown up in Brazil, and she's going to have obviously experienced jiu-jitsu. So I don't think she'll do as well as them. But she's obviously always developing as well. She's somebody that does look, she did look better after Esparza beat her, like in that Rodriguez fight. She looks strong as well. She's a strong athlete. She looks decent in the clinch. But Dern looked really strong as well. Like, I watched a fight against Torres today, and I was just really impressed with how she looked physically. You know, she did look, she does look strong. So she looks like she can match Jan there. I think that she probably will get opportunities. I'm sure she'll get opportunities because, you know, striking's coming on as well. And she does come in quite aggressively. And that's going to, obviously, if Jan tries to kick as well, that's always going to open things up. And Jan does, you know, her kicking arsenal is quite a big part of a game. Like those low kicks, those inside low kicks. And, you know, when you're in a fight, she will probably be told just to stick to her boxing. But when you're fighting instinctively, I imagine a few kicks will come out, which will open the opportunities. So, yeah, I mean, I did see with other bookmakers, I don't think Bet Rivers have got it yet, is that Dern to win inside the distance was like -110. And I thought that was probably the best play for the main event, if I was going to bet it.
Yeah, I've got the exact same thing here, mate. I think it was at -114 when I checked last. Or maybe that was, you could be right too. I could be looking at that wrong. But I think it's a pretty simple breakdown, I think, betting-wise for me. I think it's either you bet Dern to win inside the distance, because the reason why her odds are at -230 or whatever it was is because they think literally as soon as this goes to the ground, it's probably all over. She's not priced in that way because she's going to outclass her for 5 rounds. If anything, it's going to be the other way around. So for me, I lock that in. Dern inside the distance, -114, 110, whatever it was. If you want to side with Jan, I think you can get +350 for her to win by decision.
That's what I'm seeing.
And the other bet I saw was you can bet decision only, which might be an even better bet. So if the fight goes to, if the fight is finished by either of them, it's a void. And if Yan wins by decision, you win your bet. And Yan decision only is -121 with Bet Rivers. I would have that priced much shorter. I couldn't imagine what a Dern decision win would look like. It would mean she has to take her down probably over at least three rounds and not sub her during that time. I just find highly unlikely if you got her down for three rounds. And I can't see her winning on the feet. I mean, Yarn's many levels ahead on the feet. So, we're happy to lock that in, mate. Dern inside the distance -114. I think from a Yan decision only -121 or Yan decision +350, I think in terms of breaking it down betting-wise and you look at some of these prop markets, I think this is one of those fights where it's actually quite easy to break it down in that way just because the odds, the money line odds are the way they are and you can get better odds on these kind of prop markets here.
Yeah, completely agree.
All right, mate. Best bet of the weekend for each of us. Do you want to go first, mate?
Yeah, so I'll go with a Randy Brown bet. Seems that we both like that. I think, I'll go with that one.
All right, too easy, mate. I will go with, I'm going to go big. I'm going to go Brown. Actually, no, my favorite bet is Dern inside the distance, -114, -110. I think that's a very good bet. This is your first time on the YouTube channel. Please make sure you subscribe to get alerted to all the great content here on the Bet Rivers Network. You can follow us, on Twitter, Ryan on Twitter, at SM Sports Trader, and myself at Alex Vella _. And we will be back in 2 weeks. Once again, another break coming up with a preview for UFC at the Apex between Alexa Grasso and Viv Arugio. We'll see you then, mate.
Yeah, see you later, bud.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the Bet Rivers Network.